Señor, vota fratricaste, luce, circa, archiepisca, vicargutel.
A frail but determined Pope John Paul II, in October 2003, reciting the formula of beatification, formally raising Mother Teresa of Calcutta to the ranks of blessed within the Catholic Church, placing on the road to sainthood the minute little nun, renowned the world over for her selfless works of charity. Some 300,000 people turned out for the Beatification Mass in St. Peter's Square, among them many of Mother Teresa's missionaries of charity, including Superior General Sister Nirmala.
It means for us the beatification of Mother, that Mother is being recognized by the Church as a blessed, the one who has lived her life heroically out of love for God, and she is in heaven interceding for us, and she's placed before us as a model whom we can imitate. And this is for us a tremendous encouragement for the missionaries of charity to follow that way, because living our life, the life of the mission of charity, Mother has become a saint. So it gives all of us also a push to become saint by living this life.
That very same sort of encouragement gives a push to the daily ministry of Father Leo Masburg from Vienna, Austria. He's a diocesan priest who was assigned by his bishop to help Mother Teresa during many of her travels. In 1998, that job took him to Russia, where Mother Teresa was setting up a new Missionaries of Charity home, or tabernacle, as she used to call them.
Mother wanted a priest. Actually, that was one of the conditions that she opened the house, that a priest would accompany, that the priest would be available for the sisters to celebrate the Eucharist, to hear their confessions, give them retreats. And so she asked me to come to Russia when she opened the house in Moscow. And then already 3 days later, we moved to Yerevan after the big earthquake in Armenia, where I think 35,000 people died. So there was a tremendous need, and the sisters immediately started their humble service, and I happened to be around. So Mother said, Father, can't you go to Armenia? And I said, yes, I can. If the bishop doesn't object, I can. And he didn't object, so I stayed for the first 6 months. And that was a very, very beautiful time. It was a very poor time. It was a time where we had nothing, absolutely nothing. I remember that even my luggage got lost on the way. And when Mother came with a bag full of dried plums, and she gave us as a gift. And so we ate the plums, and the moment I wanted to spit the seed, I thought, oh, wait a second, maybe you can use it for something. And actually it served me as a toothbrush for the next week or two.
Oh my goodness. And that shows you what conditions you were living in.
Yeah.
And in Russia, where she established a tabernacle. Mm-hmm. What sort of reception did she have there? Of course, Russia is a mostly Orthodox nation. What was her Catholic organization? How was it perceived there?
Well, that's very complex, because from the first steps, which were rather formal, they had to receive the invitation, they had to receive the visas, they had to wait for visas for many months, to the first getting in contact with the people at the airport, the reaction of the simple people was always the same. Awe, curiosity, joy, if they knew who she was. Of course, in Russia, the media being under total control, she only appeared once on television. But with that one appearance, everybody knew who she was. And when we reached Armenia, already everybody knew, because she had appeared once on the Soviet Union television. And the sisters, leading, as always, a very humble and very hidden life, just going to the market to get something for the poor. For the first 6 months, they told me, in Yerevan, in the capital of Armenia, they didn't have to pay at the market. They always got everything free. either somebody saying, no, sisters, we pay for you, or the shopkeeper giving them everything free for the first 6 months. So it showed that she touched something in people which was beyond culture, religion, nationality, and so on. And I think that was not different in Russia.
No doubt, though, she was a thorn in the side of many people. I remember in particular her visit to Washington, where she met President Bill Clinton and his wife Hillary at a 1994 prayer breakfast with congressional leaders. Mm-hmm. She was a tiny, dwarfed figure by this microphone on the podium. You could hardly see her standing below the microphone. And she had a very blunt message for the U.S. president, who was a staunch supporter of partial birth abortion, or abortion at any time during the 9 months of pregnancy. She said, "Any country that accepts abortion is not teaching people to love, but to use violence to get what they want. That's why the greatest destroyer of peace is abortion." Yet some people criticized Mother Teresa for not being more involved in political and social change, that she lacked revolutionary zeal. What's the true story?
Well, this has been talked about a lot, but she always gave the same very simple answer. What I can do, you cannot do. What you can do, I cannot do. But together we can do something beautiful for God. So she would not change the roles. She was not a politician. It was not her vocation. She was called to quench the thirst of Christ in the poorest of the poor. And somebody reproached her, for example, that she would give a piece of bread to the people or give a fish to the people and not teach them how to fish. And she would reply, "My people cannot even hold the, how do you call that, the fishing instrument,
the fishing rod.
The fishing rod. No?
Sure.
So I have to give them a fish first. If you want to teach them to fish, you can do it, and that's wonderful." And she also sometimes handed on her people. Once they recovered, they didn't die, for example, she would search for institutions who take care of them. But she was called to the poorest of the poor. That was her specific vocation. And not to a political role, not to a... She said what she had to say, and she did it according to, not to political criteria, but to the criteria of her own charism, her own the spirit which God had given her, and she tried to be a channel to God, whether that was in the UN when she spoke to the UN Assembly, or whether this was in every single meeting. I remember once in Madras, she received, I think it was her 35th or 38th honorary doctorate degree. And she was dressed all in red. She looked like Christ, really, in the red, purple vestment. And there were many speakers, I think four or five speakers, talking before her, praising her social work, praising this, praising that. And two speakers I didn't understand because they spoke in a language not known to me. But the ones in English understood, and I listened. Was there anything about Christ? And there was absolutely nothing about Christ. It was social work and the good she did and the love she had and so on. And then I thought, that was still at the beginning, I thought, well, now I'm very curious to see what she says, whether she mentions Christ. No, even religious people who spoke didn't mention, no, because of respect for the Hindus.
Sure.
Or her. And she got to the podium. She could hardly look across it. She took down the microphone and she said, "Jesus taught us." So she started immediately with it. It was her message. It was she really did what St. Paul says, "Not I live, but Jesus lives in me." And so she lived it.
Just how Mother Teresa lived inside was slowly revealed in her private documents and letters that have come to light during the Vatican investigation into her cause for sainthood. Father Leo has worked alongside postulator Father Brian Kolejdychuk.
I must say I came to know Mother from a completely different side. No. Everybody who was around her thought that he knew her. Everybody thought that he was his best friend, her best friend. Mm. Because she had such a personal, such a direct and loving way with each one. And in the position, hearing and seeing the testimonies of the people, you discovered that she was really the mother of the world. I mean, not just your own personal mother. And many people had that impression, thinking that they were mother's best friend. So did I. Best friend, I mean. You always thought you were something special when you were with her. And she gave you that feeling. So that was the positio, which was elaborated with Father Brian. He was the postulator and still is. So that was the work I was lucky to do.
Earlier we talked about the private side of Mother Teresa. It seems that after she died in 1997, it was discovered that ever since she had begun her work with the poor, that she secretly suffered from what she called the darkness, an inner painful experience that perhaps brought her closer to the people around her. Did she ever talk to you about the doubts that pursued her?
No. No, there were no doubts which pursued her. From the things published so far, we can see that it was the normal mystical phenomenon of the darkness, dark night of the soul, as described by St. John of the Cross, which is, one could say, a normal development if you grow spiritually, which of course very few grow to that level. But it is the level where you get so close to Jesus, and that was the aim of Mother Teresa's teaching, no? To bring you close to Jesus. But she herself got so close to Jesus that she once said to somebody that he can kiss you from his cross, no? That he can allow you to share in his sufferings. And obviously she did not deny herself to do that, and God used her and accepted that sacrifice, which meant that she did not have consolations in her prayer, in special graces, but that she felt that God withdrew from her. But also sinners sometimes experience that God withdrew from them. But the difference was that she was not sinning, but she was longing for God to love him. And that's the big difference. There were no doubts in her mind. She felt, or she lived, in complete obedience to whatever she perceived as obedience, whether that was the Holy Father or local bishops or her duties. And she did it just by her own free choice and will. Maybe that's the difference. She didn't have that consolation and that push, but she was aware that Jesus was doing everything, that it was not her work. And she would say, it's all Jesus doing. Only the mistakes, they are mine.
Father Leo Masburg was a personal friend and aide to Mother Teresa. Thank you.